What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. Landon Ferraro, John Shannon here. Landon in Vancouver. I'm in Toronto. Landon, I made the journey down the Queen Elizabeth Way to Buffalo last night to watch the Canucks play. Shake hands, kiss babies.
How was that for you?
I still love going to the rink. I really do.
Yep.
I I'm looking for the Canucks are here in Toronto on Saturday. I'll make a day of it for the morning skate and go to the game. I still, you know, this is my 49th or 50th year around the NHL. I still love walking in the arena. And
the best.
It's different than walking into Maple Leaf Gardens or the Forum, which were really small. And you were, you know, Montreal, you walked 18 feet from the street to the ice. These buildings are huge now, but I still love going in and sitting and talking to people and telling a story here and there. So it was, it's always good when I twist my arm and get in the car and drive to Buffalo, which is not a far drive for me at all. So,
you know what I did the other night? I'm on the panel in Vancouver. So after the second period, my job is done for the night.
Yeah.
And so I usually just sit up at the desk at the top of the rink and watch the third period, and it is what it is. But my brother was in town, so I text him, like, hey, is there a seat open next to you? And he's like, actually, there is. So I went and watched the third from, like, 10 rows up behind Demko in the third period.
It's something.
Yeah. And it is. Like, I haven't sat down there in a long time. You forget how fast the game moves.
I know.
And then not only that, but then because you're down there, you see the size of the guys. And it just like it makes you completely appreciate the game a different way, even though that's what I did was play. And you know how fast it is, but you forget quickly sitting at the top of the rink.
Yeah. You know, dollar for dollar for an experience for a sports fan, sitting in a seat at a hockey game is better than any of the other three pro sports in North America. Without you may not doubt. Understand it. And I've been to all of them. I mean, I was courtside of the NBA, field level with an NFL game, similar situations, first row of a baseball stadium. But the amount of action, the amount of sound, everything that occurs at a hockey game is by far more intense than any of the other sports. Unfortunately, and this has been the bane of my professional existence, it doesn't really translate to television near as well. Yeah. Because we have that barrier of glass, so the sound isn't the same. The speed and the how the direction of the game turns so quickly and so unpredictably, it's hard to figure out.
What I find is,
and the puck is small.
The puck is small, and it's funny, like, you know, because we've watched so much, you just know by how people are moving where the puck is, even if you can't see it. But for someone else, it's different. But one of the biggest things for me watching on TV compared to in person is like when there is a good hit, I don't mean like an absolutely devastating hit, but like just a good finish on the boards. You hear it a bit with the mics that they have, but when you're in person and you hear that and you see the speed in real life and then the two people stopping on a dime because all momentum's lost, like it just, again, it's a completely different thing. You feel it a bit.
Yeah, it is an amazing, and you're right about the size and the speed. It's just it's amazing to think about. So, yeah, they lost. Canucks lost Tuesday night 5-3 in Buffalo. They sported the Sabres really 3 goals, I think. You know, the 3-0 lead. At a certain point, I think the Canucks actually outchanced Buffalo. They had more good scoring opportunities. Luukkonen was very good in goal for the Sabres. I think Thatcher would like to have one of the first 2 goals back, probably the second one he'd like to have back. I didn't like the tuck goal. I didn't like very much that slow pass across the crease. But he made some spectacular saves as well.
He did. That one, was it tuck that got pushed to the left side of the net and he threw it back? That was...
Well, and there was one save he made, and forgive me, I can't even remember who was involved, but he went down, and with his history, you get worried.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh my goodness, is he going to get up? And he jumped up, and you thought, oh, thank goodness, but he moved in 4 directions at the same time and to make the save. It was a spectacular save. They deserve better, in my opinion. 5-3. They had a great third period. But it's on to Detroit for a Thursday night game against the red-hot Detroit Red Wings. And today we talked to Jake DeBrusque, who is always glib, always happy to, I think, sit down and have a discussion, just like his dad is. And so we'll talk a little bit about the team and about him and where his game is at. And where do you think it's at after that benching?
Well, I mean, it's miles ahead of where it was before that scratch. And, you know, when he came back in, the biggest difference was his skating. Like, he was, especially that Philly game, the first game out, he doesn't get a point, but he was all over the ice, easily the most noticeable player on the Canucks side. The effort, the intensity of it, getting himself to the right positions. You know, you don't, especially as a vet, you don't ever want to be scratched. Like, that's not, you know, that clearly means your year is not going the way that you would have wanted it to, which is not great. But at the same time, Jake clearly took it in the right way and has come out very energized and has played really good. He's a couple goals, couple assists in 5 games. And, you know, like, his game looks like it's trending back the right direction. And he just needs to continue that on now.
Well, we will spend some time with Jake DeBrusque after practice in Detroit on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Landon and John joined from Detroit by Jake DeBrusque. Thanks for the time, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, boys. Appreciate it.
Hey, so practice today. Light, easy, heavy? What was going on?
No, it was a hard one today. We had some, it was pretty much bowel drills. It wasn't too long, but we were going at each other and, just watching the video and everything from last game. Obviously, we need to compete harder. So we got back down to the basics today. It was a tough practice, and for me personally, I got high sticked in the nose, so I couldn't breathe out of my nose. So it was a little harder for me.
Oh no!
Tough timing.
Yeah. Who's your guy to battle with when the battle drills come up?
I try to avoid certain guys. But honestly, probably I'm trying to think of who I ran in today, but I like going against Woody just to kind of get him like mad in some ways. I didn't get him today though. It's kind of random, right? But yeah, I'd probably say Woody just because he's so intense and he plays hard. You obviously want to go against guys that push you in those situations. You know, you're not getting out of it. So worst guy to go against is Hoggy though. Hoggy's the best of those.
What, just 53 cutbacks on you?
Yeah, like just cutbacks. And he's so low in his center of gravity. It's just, it's a nightmare. It really is.
You mentioned last game in Buffalo, a 5-3 loss to the Sabres, where the first 8 minutes, you guys were all over them. And then, you know, Lukanen did his job, and then a couple of mistakes in your own zone. Next thing you know, it's 2-0. How do you explain the... how do you explain the inconsistency, if there's a nice way to put it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it starts with us as players. But I'm not sure. You know, I think there's a lot of things that go into it. And it seems like every time that we kind of get a little sleepy or don't bear down on certain pucks, it just seems like it's going in our net. And at the same point, though, we're giving up way too many great A's. Our goalies are keeping us in these games. We're relying on them too much. So, I think that goes with the same thing I was just saying in terms of mental breakdowns and also just puck play or puck management. I think those things go into inconsistency, because you can play a good 20 minutes of hockey, but, you gotta play full 60, especially us right now.
You had three times more shot attempts in the third period than the Sabres did. Yeah, and they were actually prepared for you to make a strong push in the third period, just like you did when you played them in Vancouver. I guess that's from a guy from the outside sitting watching saying, how can this team be so different in a second period than it was in the third?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, I think that there's a little bit of both ways. I think for them, you look at you're going to the third period, you're up four. You know, you're just holding the forward and don't really need to do anything too crazy, but obviously with the 4 minute power play that can change momentum in a game, you know, we get one or two there, it gives the other team life. For us, that's how we looked at it. Was you know, we thought that we were generating a decent amount, but there was more to be had. And then I think on some of the goals, they weren't really that sharp. So I think that goes with both ways. You know, I think if it's a 2-0 game, I think it's a little different. It's sometimes harder when you're up four. But in saying that, we pushed, it's not like we just gave up. We, you know, obviously capitalized on that, and then, two quick ones right after that. And then it's a game now. Right. And,
right.
I think that's something that is just a lesson in hockey. You know, you're never out of a game, and you also never really won a game, until it's all done.
You know, you're obviously going into every game trying to win. Obviously, that's the goal. But you do have a different team than the last time we talked before the season. And there's a lot of young guys and there's lots of learning. Like, how do you compartmentalize the, you know, we want to win, but there is learning experiences. Guys are going to make mistakes here or there. Like, how do you deal with that in the big picture as a group?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, it's a lot to learn myself. I mean, I've never really been in this position. excuse me. As a group, you just try to, you know, count on the positives, learning lessons. You try to help guys out in different roles. Obviously, we got young guys on the back end, up front. You know, I really liked how Ogie responded and, you know, scored that goal in the third. You know, takes a big hit, comes back down, scores. You know, those are things that you harp on. Those are things that help you in hockey games. Even the younger guys that, you know, like Carly that I play with and different things, you try to just be positive with them. Obviously, like you said, we're trying to win a game. We haven't won many, so it's frustrating, and it's easy to kind of go the other way. But I'm learning just like everyone else is in terms of this.
You bring up Carlson and well, Pettersson as well, like the guys you've been playing with the last few, you know, from the outside, it's looked really good. And, you know, the numbers are supporting it as well. How does it feel on that line?
Yeah, I think that we're moving. I think that obviously after my healthy scratch, you know, I'm going to play my game no matter who I'm playing with. And I think that's speed. I think that's getting it on the forecheck. Obviously, Carly's really good down low. He's got such a, you know, good stick. He's smart and he works, and you can work with a guy like that. And, you know, obviously he's been hot lately. So, and then Petey's Petey, you know, you just read and react off him. So I think the biggest thing without the line when it was clicking, we got changed last game, but, with speed, we're moving through the zone together. And I think that's hockey nowadays. I think you need to be fast. Because when we slow down the game, we don't, you know, I think that's sometimes one of our, not necessarily issues, but problems when you try to slow the game down and things aren't going your way, you'll get punished for it. So We just need to get quicker as a line and as a team.
Well, since you brought up the healthy scratch, we can. when you got told, what was going through your mind, and how did you manage that day?
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I mean, I've had this happen before. So while it was happening, obviously you're extremely mad, extremely frustrated. But at the same point, makes you look yourself in the mirror. You know, you can say all the cliches you want, but I go off of my previous experience of having this happen with me.
Right. And it was in Boston?
Yeah, in Boston. Yeah. I've been scratched a couple times. So you just try to go off of your previous experience and kind of how, sometimes you come back and things are great. Sometimes you come back and things are the same. So you just try to take your experience and really lean on it. It sucked watching the game. It sucks being out. And I think that for me, it was, I just was extremely mad. I've been obviously very frustrated with this whole year, but I knew I'd come back flying. I knew it'd be fine.
I've never played the game, so I've never been scratched. But do you understand why you were scratched?
Yeah. I mean, you talked to me and I kind of, I had an idea. I mean, I wasn't playing very well. I think it was a shock, of course, in terms of my position, when I get scratched, it's not it's big news, right? So obviously it's going to come out and everything, but, the point of how you feel about it is you can go two ways. You can blame everyone else. You can easily just blame everyone else or blame the reasonings. You can blame situations. You can blame all these things, but that gets you nowhere. You have to look yourself in the mirror and you just have to be a good pro and respond. And I think that's how I took it, but me and Footy had a talk and obviously explained some of the reasoning. And, at that point the decision's made, right? So, I mean, I understood what he was saying, but, at that point I already, I was focusing on the next time I was in, pretty quickly after. You have to, obviously you feel it. It's not like it's just in and out, it's, yet the whole day. I think we had a day before too. So it just felt like it was lingering on, but, you learn a lot about yourself when things go bad. And, I've always had adversity, throughout my career in different terminology. So I took it as that, and I obviously need to be better. I still need to bring more. So, it hasn't really stopped for me.
When you said, when you get that news, it can go one of two ways. You can get angry or you can look at yourself. How long does it take you to go from the anger to, okay, I can actually process this and kind of look at it? The reason I asked that was because I was terrible at it, and I would bring it into the next game. Then I'd take a penalty. It was not the right way to handle it. And you came back and your feet are moving. Like that first game against Philly, you don't get a point, but that snapshot post you hit was good. You were all over it. Like you came back in with the right mind frame.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, it is hard because then everything you feel just gets amplified, right? Mm-hmm. What it does, it takes away your confidence a little bit, not necessarily completely, but when you get scratched and you're not playing, that's just human nature. But for me, I mean, I went off my previous experiences, and I think going back to your first question, I still am angry. I think that's fair to say. I'm laughing, but I'm coming every single game as if I'm going to get scratched the next one. So that's how I have to play. And that's kind of how you are when you're younger. You're fighting for every single day in your career, you're fighting for the next day. And I think how I looked at it was it brought me back to that where, it's just survival. Right. And it's not maybe that dire, but to me it is. And I take it on the chin, but I went back off my previous experiences and like you said, the legs, I just needed my legs to be there. That was the only thing I was focusing on, I guess, in those 2-day frame, the training staff here, we did a little bit of something. And, as long as my legs are there, I usually can generate. So, I just had to focus on my details of what I do good.
I'm just curious on the topic. Sure. You get told, and it's a little different for you because your dad's a celebrity. Do you phone your mom or dad and say, look, here's what's happening? Or do you phone Rick Follett, your agent, or who do you phone?
I didn't phone anybody, actually. They were texting me. They were checking in on me. My dad did want to call me. So I think I talked in the summer. I don't call him enough. I was, I didn't talk to him actually, which I kind of feel bad for, but no, I mean, Yeah, no, I didn't call anybody. I mean, I knew it was going to be out there and everything. And they did text you. They're checking on me, don't get me wrong, and my agent as well. But, you know, I wasn't going to make a bigger thing than what it is. At that point, I just need to focus on, you know, what I needed to do. And, you know, obviously I have their support and they're great. And I love them for it. But I've had times where I've leaned on them before. I think the benefit of this was it was more so of a reset for me. And so I took it as a reset. And, you know, I still have more to grow, but I've been playing better since it, I think anyways.
And something, you know, I feel like I got to ask because I'm curious, but so you get the news Footy tells you, does he mention or does it click in your head, you know, again, with the team turning over, there's a lot of young guys, there's been a lot of talk of being good role models and showing them how to be a professional. Like, looking at it again from the outside, it's easy for me to say, like, that's a really good learning opportunity for the young guys to see a veteran like yourself go through that and how they handle it. Does Footy talk to you about that, like mention it, or does he trust that you've got a good head on your shoulder and you're going to do it the right way?
I mean, he didn't mention that part of it. I mean, it was pretty, it's a hard conversation to have, you know. It sucks even as a coach. I mean, you know, he played the game, he understands. You never want to scratch a veteran guy. But you know, I forced his hand in that way, I guess. And, but like you said, yeah, that's how I took it. I mean, at the same point, though, obviously I haven't been necessarily the same person since I've been scratched, you know, coming back, to be fair. I've been more focused in terms of different ways. You know, it's kind of hard to be happy-go-lucky when it feels like the world's crumbling on you, you know. But I think that you can do it by different ways. You can do it by your play. You can do it by how you prepare. You can do it by how, I guess, you act in certain ways. And, yeah, like you said, there's lots of young guys, and I think it's a good message to send. I mean, it's obviously easy to say now at this point. You never know going into a game. How's it going to go? How's everything going to, you know, how, am I going to score? Is it going to, you know, whatever. You think of all these things, right? But, yeah, I mean, that's just part of the business, right? And, you know, you want to come back and you want to be the player that you know you are and the player that can help this team. So that's kind of all I really was focusing on. But, yeah, in terms of the young guys and stuff, it's a message to them too. It's a message to everybody, I think, on the team. I think that's what some of the reasoning was. You know, I thought the guys responded.
Hey, it's, to Landon's point, after Quinn got moved, do you feel your role as a leader changed? I mean, the average age of the team went down. That means the older guys, including you, got on the high end of the average, and so that's a different situation to look at.
Yeah, and that's obviously losing your captain is tough. You know, I think that what I was saying earlier in this interview is I'm learning too. You know, I'm learning how to deal with this. I mean, everyone is, but kind of learn on the fly. But all you can do is really just be the best player you can be, the best pro you can be. And, but you're right. Yeah. I'm getting older. I'm one of the older guys on the team now. And as a veteran, you got to lead the way. And I think that all of us collectively can say that we haven't done that as good as we can, or that as good as we want. It never really is at the beginning. But you learn through it every day. And I feel like I have lots of, leaders in my career that I've seen when I was younger. Obviously, I think I've talked about this before in terms of like Boston stuff, like, you know, like those, you know, the top three guys there, and they all did it in different ways. So I just try to be who I am, and if they have any questions or anything, obviously I try to keep the mood light, and saying that, you know, it's hard when results aren't coming.
When you got the news of the trade, so they say, here are the three guys coming, Bouillon, Rossi, Ogren. Do you say, who are these guys? Are you aware of who they are? Do you know what they can bring? Or do you have to do a little bit of research?
To be honest with you, I remembered Z. I remember playing against Z in Minnesota. I didn't know he was that young. I didn't know much about him, but I did remember playing against him. And then I knew about Rossi a little bit, and then I didn't know about Ogie. But either way, I looked up videos on all three of them, obviously, because, you know, they're joining the team, and they're coming into a situation where, you know, I might be playing with one of them or two of them, or he might be on, you know, you never know, right? So you try to take little snippets. You never really know until you get into a game and see how it is. But, you know, they came in, they're super excited and happy, and I think that's one thing that you know, kind of brought us together. We went in a little bit of heater after that. Was their energy and their excitement, and
it helped being on the road trip, right? I mean, you guys were on the road when it happened, so you're starting in that with New Jersey that Sunday afternoon. That was a positive.
Yeah, I guess. I never really thought of it that way.
but you're all in the hotel. It's not as if you're going to your condos. I mean, you're stuck on the road too, you know? So that was always my point. I said that to Liam when we talked to him last week, and he kind of agreed with me. So you're kind of disagreeing with me too. So I know.
You're convincing me now more because it makes more sense. The more you're telling me, I feel like the road is definitely better. Yeah, you're right. Your meal room, you get to talk more, you're around. And I would actually give you the edge there. I think you're right.
Okay. You can bring it up the next show we do and see if the third time's a charm that they actually
I'm 0 for 2 so far.
That's awesome.
But so you're back in the lineup, your legs are moving, you're back on top of the puck here. And so obviously for you personally, I would assume you want to continue on that path. And, you've got, two goals, two assists in the five games you played since, and you're going to continue that way. But like, what is the goal right now? Again, I know I said it earlier, you're obviously going into games wanting to win, but yeah. You got to be realistic too. Like, what are goals going into each game? Is it a couple different points of the game that you really want to focus as a team, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to say it. I mean, there's definitely ways that we want to play and we want to build our identity. It's obviously a lot of trial and error, and it hasn't been a really successful season for us, as we all know. But I think going into the next couple of games, how it's been as of late anyways, is we're trying to focus on just, simple things in terms of forechecking consistently, changing, kind of doing the right things, the stuff that doesn't really get noticed, the routes, things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, I came here to win, so I want to win every game. I mean, I feel it on the chin every time we lose. I'm not used to it. So as a personal player, we all want to win, as you know. I mean, you're not going to a game hoping to lose by one or two and or whatever, or get smoked. Like, we want to win. And in terms of realistic approach, I think the easiest way is just to focus on those points that are being made by the coaching staff, and you got to trust in them and follow them.
I was joking with Landon last week. You weren't even born when this happened. So when the Canucks joined the NHL in 1970, they played in the Eastern Conference. And so the travel was horrendous. Well, here you are. I think this is your third trip to the East already this season. This is the craziest schedule I have seen. And I don't know how, I mean, every time you look up, oh yeah, the Canucks are coming to the Eastern time zone again. It's how do you manage it? How does your body manage it?
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, last year I noticed that just the travel in general going from the east to the west, and this year feels like it's double. You have to really manage it. And I think this is our last long road trip of the year, if I'm not mistaken, or last like 10-dayer. But we've had a couple, and it's a lot. I mean, it's part of the business. Every team goes through it. The biggest thing for us is we just lose hours. So we lose hours wherever we go, right? So we went to, Buffalo, you fly out at 11, you get in at 6 o'clock, it's like and then you have to get used to it. Whereas the East, it was always the other way. You always gain hours. That's what I was saying. The difference is there, but yeah. And just in terms of the schedule, the 3 and 4s, the back to backs. I mean, you see how many injuries are on the league right now, and you see how the games are. The games aren't necessarily as fast as they probably should be or could be, just because guys are, we're playing, it seems like, every single night and traveling. So, but that's our job to figure it out. It took a little bit of time, I think, for some guys, including myself, especially probably around like 20 game mark. Your body is just, you're getting, like you were saying earlier, I'm getting older. I'm starting to feel a little older for the first time because of just how much constant, travel and just how it is. But I mean, I talked to my dad, and he even says he's bad calling all the games doing the travel. And I'm like, yeah. I know, I feel you, like it's a lot. But I guess the trade-off is the Olympics, which is exciting. So I guess it's worth it that way.
I bet you in your last year in Boston, I bet you slept in your bed 40 to 50 days more than you do in Vancouver.
Well, I don't know because we have long homestands. But I don't know. But like, yeah. I would agree, though, definitely more because it was always there.
But you had those one-offs, right? In Boston. You know, you'd go to Montreal for one game and be home at 2 in the morning.
No, so true. Yeah. So I definitely, it is what it is. But I guess the positive is that we're going to be home for the second half, right? You know, less travel in that way. Wow. So
now you got to figure out how to win at home.
Stands.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have lots of trial. We'll have lots of time. Sorry. We'll have lots of time to do that upcoming.
Curious, like you said, even your dad's saying like it's this year is just crazy how it all like it's all jammed in. You know, I'd always find kind of that end of January, February was the part of the season that the days just started to blend together and you just didn't know what was coming other than the game next.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're already at that point. How long have you been at that point of, I don't know what day it is, I don't know what's going on, but we play Detroit tomorrow type of deal?
I might be one of the worst guys to ask. I'm usually like that pretty early on. But I think honestly, yeah, I mean, we just got back from Christmas break, so it's a little bit of a refresher. You know, but in fairness, I still feel like it's the same thing. I don't remember the last time I've known what day of the week it is, because it's just either a game day or non-game day. We've had some time, though, the last, I guess, 4 or 5 days where we've had a, you know, practice game, like we've had time, which kind of gets you back in. But I'd probably say about a month ago, like, you know, just before Christmas break, it was kind of, it felt like we had like 3 and 4, then we had a 2 days game, then another 3 and 4. Those, you get 3 or 4 of those in you, and it's just, you know, who are we playing next? It's because there's another game coming up on the schedule, right?
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine on your guys' side right now because I'm way less busy than you, and my days are all over. I was telling John last week, I brought the garbage out the day early, got up super early, brought everything out to the curb. Wasn't the right day. Like, not a clue what's going on.
Happens to the best of us. Eh?
Okay, so you got the off day in Detroit after practice today. If you had to be able to pick what type of meal you'd go for tonight. Are you the Italian guy, the Chinese guy? Are you going to go to the big steakhouse? Where are you going for dinner? If you had the perfect night where you said, "Oh, we're done practice. Everybody's back. We're going to meet at 6 o'clock. I'm going for a what type of meal?
I'm going Italian through and through. Italian, yeah.
I love some Italian good Italian food. Spots in Detroit.
Yeah. I think actually Phil's got this one spot that I've gone to the last 2 years with him, and it's, I don't even know what it's called. Again, like the garbage we were just talking about earlier. I'm like that with places right now. But it's got Italian food on there. I go away from Italian the whole summer, and then I can't have enough of it during the year. It's like a complete reversal. So I'd say like Italian.
Are we a chicken parm or are we a veal macaw? What are we?
Yeah, I'm like a chicken parm, or if there's like, you know, if they say something's really good on, like, you know, I'm not like super strict on the meal of Italian, but chicken parm's a classic. Can never go wrong with that. You know what I mean? So I'd probably go with that tonight, actually.
There we go. Okay. Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I know, me too.
All right. Hey, listen, we appreciate your time. You know, by the way, Garland's not on the trip, but he's the guy who usually arranges the ice cream. He tells us all the time. He and Besser are the ice cream guys. So,
They've dragged me in a couple times. Not too many, though. I try to dodge, especially Bass. I try to dodge Bass. He gets with the big ones, you know? They're so good, though. We used to do it all the time in Boston. We used to get Dairy Queen. I mean, I feel like everyone knows now Marshy.
Well, Marshy.
There's huge orders. And it was, you know, sometimes you need a little sugar. Sometimes you need a little snack.
Well, and Sean Corelli, when he played in Boston, he was the Oreo cookie guy, I think, wasn't he? He was big into the Oreo cookies.
No, he wasn't, because I would have been taking them if he was making them. I think I think I was the Oreo guy. Okay. Well, I mean, I still get Oreos here too, but yeah, no.
Double stuff guy or originals?
I'm more of an original. I think double stuff, like by the fifth one, it's just too much. Like, it's just too much. Like, you know, you need milk or something. I won't get
like
too
how you said the fifth one. The at least you're being honest. Like, you didn't just go, you know, after two, it's just too much.
Jake, you actually hit the nail on the head there when you talked about the glass of milk. So that's the key thing in all this. Yes.
That's the key thing there. Yeah.
You know, and you know what? Single room, room service, you can afford it now. That's good. You know, you don't have to wake up your roommate. You can have the cookie and the milk. Right?
Yeah. So true.
Well, good luck against the Red Wings tomorrow night, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Welcome back. Thanks to Jake DeBrusk for taking some time with us. I know he's one of those guys when he speaks to you, like when and he says that he's still mad, but he says it with a smile on his face, Landon. I mean, I you know, he's pissed off still that he got the scratch, didn't play, understands it, I think, but does it with such a great demeanor. How can you not like the guy?
Yeah, I was just about to say, for someone that, you know, it's not like I have a long history with Jake, but since he's been in Vancouver and I've been doing my job, like, he's an awesome guy to talk to. Always seems happy, always seems engaged in the conversation. You know, it would be really easy for a guy to, you know, be on this Vancouver team that has, you know, it's gone a different direction this year than the hope that they had at the beginning of the season, and personally not doing well, to come on here and just kind of give the answers that you know that you got to give and move along. But Jake, again, like, it just shows another reason why I love talking to him, because he's engaged. He gives you really good answers. You know, he's in a good mood, even though as he's talking about getting scratched, he's laughing, but he says, like, you know, I know I'm laughing, but I'm pissed still. Mm. Right. But to me, that's a guy that understands why do my teammates, or why am I going to come on this podcast and have an attitude? They want to talk. I love talking hockey. I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to give good answers. And he was great once again, giving some really good insight into, you know, the feelings that come with getting scratched, then dealing with those feelings, coming back into the lineup, like all those situations as you move through that process. Like, he gave some really good insight into that.
Yeah. Well, and he made me hungry. So,
yeah, seriously. I was doing fine till you mentioned chicken parm, then I got hungry.
Well, I mean, that is the official meal of the Ferraro family, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty close to it. And I'll be honest, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So it's Detroit Thursday night, Toronto Saturday, Monday night in Montreal, Tuesday night in Ottawa, Thursday night in Columbus. Just an old-fashioned
Columbus typical, one in there, eh?
Oh, it's just an old-fashioned grind of an Eastern swing before they get home and have some time at home. Oh, yeah, and by the way, when they come home, they play the Edmonton Oilers. So,
yeah, and that number 97's on a pretty good tear right now.
Yeah, to quote Jack Hughes, he's on a heater.
This might be the best I've ever seen him play.
Well, Connor admits it. He's getting ready for February and the Olympics, and so it's he's in fine form. So we'll enjoy this. Canuck fans will enjoy Connor McDavid in February, not necessarily in January. Thanks for this, Landon.
Yeah, have a good one. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for listening and watching this edition of 100%. Canucks.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.